first, let's just have each of you introduce yourselves so folks know who you are and which languages you are teaching. And let's start off with Captain Joe Thomas.
My name is Joseph Thomas. I'm a retired pastor, and I'm a Tlingit mentor for the KIC program. And my Tlingit name is Kudeik.
I'm Linda Schrack, and I am the Hadkil, the Haida language instructor for KIC. And Skill Jade is my Haida name.
My name is Terry Burr. I am the Tsimshian language instructor for Ketchikan Indian Community Language Program, and my Tsimshian name is Ashley Dow.
Speak a little bit about the KIC language program. How did that start, and where is it, I guess, now?
Historically, Ketchikan Indian Community has been working on native language preservation for over 40 years through the Johnson O'Malley program, which we are presently are not running. But we have put extra effort into language revitalization since 2008. And with this most recent effort, we implemented the mentor-apprentice program in which we would match language apprentices with fluent speaking elders to learn full language. At this point, we are beginning to teach what we have learned, and so we have community-based night classes. We're beginning to offer some language classes in public school. Our courses right now are also picked up through UAS, so people could get college credit for these. And so it's been a long journey.
Are the three of you the main teachers, the only teachers? Are there additional teachers out there?
We are the only teachers at this point, and that's something that we, you know, would like to do in the near future, is to train other teachers so we can run language classes at different times of the day, maybe, just to get some assistance. It is, you know, a big job for one person to do.
And I understand that there are very few fluent speakers left.
That's very true.
Roughly for each of the languages, about how many people are left?
Right now, I can just about count about on my fingers fluent speakers in the Tlingit language. I don't know about the Haida or Tsimshian. But the language, there are many people that are dormant speakers, and I call them dormant. They understand the language, but they can't speak it.
I think that's true often of many languages. Unless you're practicing it, it's pretty hard to retain it.
Yes, unless it is being spoken in the household and on the streets or wherever you go, the language basically is going to just fade away.
And this is an effort to keep the language going.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I appreciate about the KIC program. They are trying to develop a program where we'll be able to mentor others and bring the program back and bring it into the school district here in the community, and perhaps we'll branch out to other places also. But that's just a big dream on my part.
And Linda Schrack, about how many Haida speakers remain?
There are approximately 33 fluent speakers worldwide, which we have two that reside here in Ketchikan. The majority of the fluent speakers live in Haida Gwaii in British Columbia. And then, as Joe had mentioned, there are silent speakers, but that's about how many we have.
Terry Burr, the Tsimshian?
Yeah, for Ketchikan, we have two fluent speakers left in Ketchikan, and one of them is able to teach, and able and willing to teach Shimalyuk. And then I have heard that there are as many as 8 speakers in Metlakatla, and probably about 4 or 5 of them are able to teach. And then the reports I get from Canada are about 12 fluent speakers left. So worldwide, I'm looking at 22. And I want to emphasize that it's no accident that our language is in this state, that there was a lot of pressure long ago to have Native people stop speaking our native languages and only speak English. There was a lot of pressure from churches and from the school system and the government. We all have heard stories of our grandparents and great-grandparents who were punished.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, parents decided to stop using native language with their children to try to keep their children from getting in trouble or hurt. Our languages were pretty much villainized. And so we're trying to come out of this atmosphere of fear and create interest.
And I imagine with the older speakers that some of that still exists.
That's true. The strangest thing is that my first mentor was my mother, and so here she didn't learn English until she was 8 years old, and all her life she lived in fear of being heard spoken to speak Shemalgich, and so it was supposed to be a bad thing, our society said. And then here in her last days we come knocking at the elder's door and beg them, please teach us full language really fast. So my heart goes out to the elders because, you know, things go one way and then the other. Please don't speak quick.
I was watching a CD tape last night, and one lady, a Tsimshian lady, said that the moment they were always shipped off to boarding schools, the moment that they would start speaking in their own language, the teacher, if they were caught by the teacher, they would either be struck across the top of their hand or tape would be put across their mouth so that they wouldn't speak. And I forgot to also mention that I was only counting the people that can speak fluently in Southeast Alaska. There are many in Canada that speak up in Atlin. Atlin is Big Lake.
Are there exchanges in some respects that do you ever meet up with Canadian speakers and work with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one year I worked with Cape Fox Tours, and one year a bunch of Canadians came down and they watched us dance, and one of them came and introduced himself in the Canadian dialect, and it is very interesting. It almost sounded like the southern dialect that has been lost to our people here. But it is very interesting. They speak quite fluently up there in Canada.
I'm interested in that as well, the dialect. So do each of you speak a particular dialect for that language?
Myself, I speak the northern dialect, which is a little different, excuse me, than the southern. The southern dialect has kind of a sing-songy phrase. So you listen to the Asian people when they speak, they kind of up and sing-song, up and down, up and down. And that's the way the southern dialect used to be spoken, with different meaning to their phrases. But for us, northern dialect is kind of just straight across.
And Linda?
Yeah, you had asked about if we, meet with the people in BC that are working on language revitalization. With the Haida people, what we have done is we started what we call the International Haida Language Gathering, and that started back in 2005. We rotate the location of where we're going to meet, and it could be here in Ketchikan, Haida Gwaii. We've done one in Seattle and Heidelberg. That's where people come from each of the communities that are working on language revitalization, and we share our resources, give reports of what each community is doing. Because of the state of our language, we figure that, if we share our resources, then people aren't going to have to be doing, the same kind of work. We just don't have time to be doing double the work for one end result for resources. There is dialect differences. There is the northern dialect and the southern dialect. The southern dialect is in the area of Skidigit in British Columbia, and the northern dialect covers the area of North Haida Gwaii, the Masset area, and then here in Alaska. There is very little difference between the Masset and Alaska dialects. It's just enough to where you notice that there is a difference, but the southern dialect is even more different than the northern. But the more that I hear the southern dialect, I'm able to keep up with what the people are saying when they're speaking. One dialect isn't more correct over the other. It just depends on the location of where the speakers are from. And I really impress that upon my students, to respect all dialects that we have.
And Terry Burr, I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly. Shimalgya. And is that a dialect, or is that what Tsimshian is called amongst?
Yeah, our language for the Tsimshian Nation, the name of our language is Shimalgya. And Shimalgya is the oldest version, and we see it as the most authentic version of our language. As Tsimshian people live up inland towards Taras and Prince George, the dialect changes quite a bit. There's a lot of borrowing from other nations, other Indian nations, and the people to the south, further south, moving towards Vancouver Island, the language changes quite a bit there. But the oldest version of our language is Shimalgya. A long time ago, during the winter potlatches, it was agreed that all the people will revert back to the original form of the language, which is, people call it Coast Tsimshian, but it's Shimalgya. That's what we're learning here in Ketchikan and what I've learned from my elders here in Ketchikan. Shimalgya is also spoken in Prince Rupert, B.C. Here in Ketchikan, I am calling what I've learned the Alaska dialect, and there are quite a few changes or differences between the words that we know in Alaska versus Prince Rupert or in Canada. The reason is historical, is that in 1887, when 800 Tsimshians moved into Northern Territory, most of the leadership left what was the new Canadian side of the border before there was no border. But most of the leadership left. William Duncan put hereditary chiefs and headmen in as the church elders, and they were the ones who made the decision. And then the people followed their decision en masse. So that's how 800 came north. But the high-ranking people speak differently than the commoners. And so the high-ranking people talk in plurals. They address everyone and into the future. Also, when they're talking about animals and things on their land, they speak as if they own those objects, because for hereditary chiefs, it's their responsibility for the well-being of everything on their land. So that's the main difference, is the connection between everything on your land and who you're addressing, and it's all people, even into the future, whereas commoners don't talk like that. And that's what we have in Alaska and what we're trying to preserve.
So are you teaching both, or
no,
the
just
language
what the elders speak here in Alaska is some people call it the High Tsimshian, or referring to Chief Talk.
Speak a bit about the classes that you offer. You regularly have sessions that people can attend. How do those work?
We teach year-round, mostly focused on the evening community-based classes. So for families who are working, they could attend the classes with their children in the evening. We're starting our second year of those classes, and those are conversational-based. Let's see, we have off and on, and this year we are getting started with the public school system, and I know Linda, she could talk about her class at Howling. I am working with K-High right now to see about having Tsimshian language classes at K-High this year. We also teach at Culture Camp, KIC Culture Camp, and we're open to any and all venues to get the language out and create interest. These classes, most important, are open to everybody. Our language is in such a crisis state that we're taking all comers. You want to learn Shimalgya or Hodkil or Tlingit, you come here. We need you now. Sign up.
Because they can become extinct.
That's true. We're very near. We're very near this reality that our languages can be, you know, non-existent. We need everybody who has an interest to come and make this a part of your life. It's very enriching. You get to see, you'll get to see the world through Tsimshian, Tlingit, and Haida mindset, and it's a pretty beautiful thing to learn.
Well, we were talking earlier that it, you know, in English, it doesn't translate in the same way that we may say, hello, how are you? Yet in each language, you may say something different in greeting someone, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, yeah.
So it is, part of it is learning kind of a different structure and culture? And we had, prior to getting on the microphone, we spoke about just taking a phrase and sharing that in each of the languages so that people can hear the differences. And so the phrase we selected is, it's a good day. So let me just have you go around the table and each of you say that in your language so we can hear how each sounds.
The way we say it's a good day in our language, in the Tlingit language, is kuake, which means it's a good day.
And in Hadkil, it's singai las, which means it's, the weather is good.
Mm-hmm. In Shemalyah, one of the ways we say that is amalaha. Yeah, it's a good day. It's going to be a good day. The day is good.
And it's interesting, the languages are very different, and I would imagine people think, because it's a Southeast Alaska language, that everyone, they're similar. Is that true? Do you think, that you get that impression from people at all, or no? I'm guessing no, you don't. Because I would think, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, it's a Southeast Alaska language. They're all similar.
But people say that all the time, and it is not true. So you just heard three different ways to say it's a good day, and there is no similarity.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, is that it seems like if you choose to learn a language, you kind of have to stick with one because they're so different.
Yeah, one at a time. And I have heard that people can learn two or three at a time, but you need to separate the times that you do that. You should probably do it on a schedule or pick, a few days for one language and then the other days of the week for the second language, yeah.
And Terry, earlier you were saying to me that it used to be that people spoke all three languages, like
that's
family
true.
Members did.
Yeah.
That.
Right. All of us have stories about our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents who could speak all three, and many of them could speak more. They also spoke the Chinook.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition,
a trade language.
Yeah, it's the Chinook, English, Tlingit, Tsimshian, and Haida. That was how it was around here. If you're going to respect another people, one of the best ways you can do that is by speaking to them in their own language. Hopefully that's our language program will get to that point where we start speaking other people's languages too.
And it also shows you it's possible. I mean, if they can learn three, mm-hmm. perhaps all of us can.
Certainly. Yeah. I actually have a couple of young students in my class that are learning Hadkil and Tlingit. So that's pretty exciting. And that's one of the things that I've said many times is that I hope to see that come back during my time, that people can speak each one of the languages.
And Linda, you're at Houtling doing this?
Yes, I'm teaching Hadkil in one of the fourth grade classes. I go there 3 days a week for 30 to 40 minutes at a time. I choose a theme, and right now my theme is weather. And it's just amazing how quickly the young children pick up the language that they're being taught, and they start using it. They're excited to use it. Mm-hmm. And that's what really helps to keep me going. They inspire me. Then also one of the things that I am doing is we call it Adopt-A-Family program, and that's something that we started implementing a few years ago. And since I was away in Masset, it hadn't been done with the Hadkil program up until this fall again. And the way that works is I go meet with a family that's interested in learning the language and basically commits to using the language at home with their children and other family members. And I'll go there once a week and teach daily language that the families will want to use with their children or other family members. Like, for example, it could be mealtime, like saying, Tawai heishkigung, the food is ready, slongstlin, wash your hands, you know, things that a parent will use with their children in English every day, and then we just translate it to Hadkil. One of the things that I'm trying to do for myself, it's kind of challenging, but I'm also encouraging the families to use the language as often as possible. If we know something in the language, to go ahead and say it in the language. And a lot of the times, as I'm trying to break myself from using English, when I know how to say something in Hadkil, if I say it in English and I think, oh, I know how to say that in Hadkil, I should have said that. And it's just a matter of training oneself to move from English to the traditional language.
And I would imagine that's the key to learning it, if you're translating, so to speak. I mean, that's how I, when I learn another language, it's like going, translating from English to the other language. And until you get to that point where you can just speak it and use it, it's pretty tough.
Right.
Let us talk a little bit about this Phrase of the Day program that's coming up here on KRBD. And we've been working with you on that in an attempt to get people maybe more interested in learning about these languages, as well as to learn some simple phrases that they can use. How did you decide on the phrases that you decided to focus on?
We decided to use Sea Alaska text and use their units. So we have recorded units 1 through 10, which include individual words together with a full phrase, a full sentence. These are universal themes, and so we thought that might be the most practical for the listening public.
And hoping that it will reinforce a few words, like adding new words, but also retaining a simple phrase that you can kind of start absorbing, and then it becomes more common to you. And to explain how this will work, we will also be focusing on one language each week, and it will be the same themes for 3 weeks, but each language featured in a different week. And then we'll be posting those to our website so that people can actually go online, listen to them again, and hopefully, retain more. If people are interested, if this sparks interest in them, how can they sign up for classes? Are these classes, they're free, are they not?
Correct. We are not charging people to learn Tlingit, Tsimshian, or Haida languages, which is pretty unique. I hear that a lot of people will take classes through universities, and they're very expensive. They could spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to learn basic speaking skills. Now, if a person wants to take our courses and get college credit, there is a credit processing fee that they would need to pay to UAS for that credit. Otherwise, the class itself is free. They should contact KIC. We will also have information about our upcoming courses on our website, kictribe.org.
Okay. Is there anything else anybody would like to add?
I'm just excited that KRBD is willing to do this for us, share the language with the people on this land. They're actually doing what the theme is saying, sharing the language will be heard once again upon this land. And that's fantastic. When I was listening to the it's called the national anthem in a Tlingit culture. I heard that phrase, Tsuhakahtu Achch, will once again be heard upon this land. That is fantastic. And when I shared it with her, she wrote that down. And now here it is coming to life. And I'm just happy about it, excited about it, actually.
Okay, and again, we will have, there are 10 different units.
Yes.
Each language will be featured, and we may add more units as this goes on.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to add, I guess my last words is that I really encourage everyone, regardless of age, infants, toddlers, children, adults, teens, everyone is invited and most welcome and wanted in language class. It's really important to try to learn our languages. Our languages are very, very expressive. They're very respectful in how we perceive our environment. And a lot of our languages are in the place names. And so, you know, if you really love Ketchikan, really love Southeast, it's really worth it to learn the place names because they're descriptive. And you can learn that at language class, but it's just another way to enhance your experience in living in Southeast and in Ketchikan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very beautiful thing to do and know and respectful. Yeah, so please come. You're strongly encouraged.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes, and I would like to add to that the teaching methods that we use are very, they're non-threatening. People aren't put on the spot for anything. And we've got a lot of different types of activities for all ages to participate in that reinforce the language that we're being taught. So it's really a lot of fun. There's, not only learning that take place, but there's a lot of laughter and fun going on, too. So I also encourage people to come and visit if you have even a little bit of interest, just come check it out and see if it's something you might like to do.
Okay.
So how?
My last statement on this, when the people begin to learn the language, whether it's Haida, Tsimshian, or Thlinkit, they will also begin to retain the culture that was lost many, many years ago. It'll begin to come back to them as soon as they start grasping the language that they're interested in. That's my last word there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again to all of you for being here, and thank you for helping with this project that we have worked together on to record these phrases and to get those out to the public. And again, we will have more information on that as we get closer to the time of the program. Thank you again.
Thank you. How,